Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
And welcome to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast on Acast. I'm Jolie Kerr, a cleaning expert, advice columnist, and author of the New York Times bestselling book, My Boyfriend Barfed in My Handbag, and Other Things You Can't Ask Martha. A companion post to this episode containing show notes appears on Deadspin.com, and you should send your questions about cleaning, or anything else really, to JolieKerr@gmail.com, or just chat with me in the comments at Deadspin. My guests today are Jaya Saxena and Jess Zimmerman, authors of the new book, Basic Witches. Many of you will remember Jaya from episode 25, The Worst Stain in the World, when we talked about harassing our aunties because we're convinced that there's an ancient Indian secret for removing turmeric stains that they're not telling us about. I'm still convinced that there's an ancient secret they're not telling us about. Today, Jaya is back with her Basic Witches co-author, Jess Zimmerman, and we're going to talk all about cats. Hey, ladies.
Hi.
I'm very excited to have you both here.
Yeah. Us too.
Still haven't gotten a secret thing for the stain.
I know. Well, so. I'm going to see my aunties in about a month in Dallas, and I'm going to do another round of harassment.
I basically just handle turmeric like it's radioactive material. Like, you know, you want to have like gloves and kind of a pincer thing.
You're a very wise witch, Jess. Very, very wise witch. I also want to say it was a total accident, but clearly entirely magical that you two are here in the studio with me during the week of the eclipse.
Yeah, we did not plan
We didn't
that.
Plan this.
We did not have
we
that on
We did the- plan it. We planned the eclipse.
That's the answer I wanted.
we did the eclipse. It was for our new book.
That was us, yeah. We tried to get it to happen like on release day, and that just didn't work out because of Mercury retrograde. But
yeah, when in doubt, blame Mercury. Yeah, listen, you guys, we're gonna for sure on the bonus episode talk about the eclipse and the effect that it had on us because it jacked me up in bad ways and in good. I could feel a lot of power from it, but like I also was running into walls because I was like a dazed animal. It was very, very, very strange. Speaking of bonus episodes, I want to remind you that I offer bonus episodes and all sorts of other cool rewards to my premium subscribers. If you would like to help underwrite my show by becoming an Ask a Clean Person, the podcast patron, go to patreon.com/askacleanperson to check out all of the packages I'm offering and to select the level of giving that's right for you. Your support helps me so much, and I'd love to hear from you if there are rewards you'd like me to consider making available. Speaking of patrons, I have new patrons to thank this week, but I forgot to plug them into the script, and I'm definitely going to blame Mercury for that. So next week, I'll do a big reading. Actually, you guys, next week is the kickoff of laundry school. It's the most wonderful time of the year. So I'll do all the patrons next week. Sorry that I forgot. It's really, I have really just been... Oh, it's been special for me this week, I gotta say. But
damn
we also,
moon.
Damn that moon. I love the moon. I love the moon. I'm not even mad that the moon jacked me up so much. Like I'm actually impressed by the moon and its ability to like just complete to turn me into a dazed animal, unable to operate a lock and key. It was amazing, really. All right, you guys, we also have a first for Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. In honor of the release of Basic Witches, we are doing a giveaway for our listeners.
Ooh,
so one listener will get a signed copy of Basic Witches and a tote bag, courtesy of Quirk Books. To enter, you have until Tuesday, September 5th to tweet or email me about what you would sage. And I'm going to have Jaya and Jess talk a little bit more about this contest and sort of what they're looking for and what they might sage and what saging is. So let me have you tell the listeners about that. Come September 5th, Jaya, Jess, and I will coven up. And we will pick a winner out of all of the entries. And I will announce it on, I think it's going to be episode 86 that we'll announce it, and you know, follow us on Twitter because we'll be tweeting about it. Give your Twitter handles and then talk a little bit about what you're hoping to get from this listener contest that we're doing.
First of all, I don't even have a tote bag, so this is very exciting.
We'll get you a tote bag. Okay,
so my Twitter handle is @J_Zims. And like what we're hoping to get from, like, what kind of answers
sage, or just maybe for people who don't know what saging is, maybe if you can give like a brief overview of what saging is and does and why we do it.
Yeah. Do you want to do that, or should I?
You can do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, basically burning sage, I mean, I'm sure that it is appropriated from one or more traditions, and I'm not 100% sure what the provenance is, which I think Jaya knows more than I do, but you can burn sage essentially to get rid of negative vibes or you know, evil spirits. Basically, there's a whole spectrum depending on how spiritual you are, what you're actually getting rid of by burning the sage. But
yeah.
Ghosts.
Yeah, I think that's a good overview.
Yeah, it's a lot in the cleaning vein. It's a spiritual cleansing,
yes,
rather than a physical cleansing of anything.
Yes, exactly.
And so what sort of things would you want to spiritually cleanse? I think
the White House.
Yeah, I think we've seen that a lot of people. There will be political answers here.
We were concerned that that would be all that anybody could think of.
Well, that's actually why I wanted to say it, because I was like, let's just knock that one out of the running, because it'll be everybody's
answer. We all
want
to sage the White House.
Let's just take that as red.
Don't put saging the White House.
Get more creative with your political answers.
Yes.
There you go. If you want to win this contest, there's a tip from us to you. Get more creative.
Absolutely. And I mean, in the vein also of this episode, you can absolutely want to sage your cats.
Yes.
The evil demons that they hold inside them.
Saging is not a method of exorcism.
That's right. So Jaya just mentioned what the topic of today's episode is, and it is indeed cats. The animals, not the musical.
You can sage the musical if you want.
You should.
Exactly.
You probably should sage the musical.
I have to open every episode and column and everything I ever say about cats with this very important message from me to you, my beloved listeners. I love that you love your cats. I love that you love your cats. I do. I truly do. I don't actually hate your cats. I hate what you let your cats do to you, but I know that you do it because you love them, and I love that you love your cats. So don't get angry with me. I tease because I love. There's going to be some teasing today. If it's going to upset, this is your trigger warning, cat people. If you're going to be like Terry Gross and you're going to get upset when I say that your cat hates you because it vomited on your bed, tune out now.
No, I have two cats. They totally hate me.
Yeah,
this
they
is
do.
Not.
I'm the.
Are you
thing...
saying Terry Gross vomited on your bed? Sorry, I zoned out for a second.
I also have to say, and you guys have heard me say this a lot before, is that I am very, very cat-like, and I admire cats for how evil they are. I really aspire to be more like them. I'm working on unleashing my inner Cersei Lannister. And it's going pretty well, I have to say. So there are my cat caveats that I've gotten out of the way. We have a question for this first segment about hair and dander that I'm going to have Jaya read. It is from my friend Ellie. She actually knows that I'm using this, and she was very, very excited. Ellie is a staff writer at Jezebel. And so when you hear the question, it'll make sense that it's someone who actually knows me who's sending this email, and it was a great question.
Well, hi, Ellie. All right. Jolie, it's been forever. I hope you're having a good summer. I have an all caps cleaning emergency and immediately thought of you. I'm moving to a new apartment on August 1st, and my new roommates are allergic to cats. Parentheses, my cat will be moving in with my parents. But there are traces of bunny on all my stuff. I'm assuming bunny is the cat's
bunny
name.
Bunny is a cat.
Bunny is a cat, not a bunny. There are traces of bunny on all my stuff, particularly on the couch and on a big chair he has co-opted for the past 3 years. I have lint rollers, but is there a more thorough way to get all traces of cat allergens off my furniture? I've tried a handheld vacuum, but it hasn't really worked, and feel like I probably need some kind of deeper clean. If you have any ideas, I would be forever grateful.
I sure do have ideas. And I'll tell you, spoiler alert, there is a happy ending to all of this. She sent me this question maybe about a month ago. You know, it was funny. She sent it right around the time that I was going back to Deadspin. So it was also kind of magical timing that, like, she sent this question and I was like, you know, I just got back to Deadspin like a day ago, right? And she was like, no, oh my God, what are you back to Deadspin? So it's all been great. So anyway, there's a happy ending. So I have a few things that I told her that I'm going to share with you guys about pet hair. Now we do have to say that there's hair, which is a cosmetic issue and also an allergen. But when you're talking about deep cleaning furniture for someone who has a pet allergy, you also need to be addressing the dander. And the dander will get into the fibers of the couch, of the cushions, and so on. And so those two things, you can't just take the hair off the surface. You have to address what's going on, what's lurking underneath the surface, basically. So I'm going to talk about those two things in tandem. And I'll say also, Jaya has two cats and Jess has a hairy dog. So hopefully some of this information will be new and helpful for them in their own lives.
Yeah, I've definitely done the lint roller things many times,
yeah,
because my cat has this one part on a chair that she really loves. Mm-hmm. And we went away on vacation for a week and came back and it was just like a blanket of gray hair on the one arm of the chair. And I'm just like, this is so disgusting. Why do I let a wild animal in my house?
Yes, a wild animal. Like, it really is.
I know you've done the lint roller thing because you've met my dog, and I basically press the lint roller into the hand of anybody who's trying to leave my apartment. Like, listen.
Okay, well,
you
good.
May not know you need this, but
I'm excited about this because I think that I'm going to tell you guys something new that's even more effective than the lint roller.
Ooh.
So lint rollers are good, and I'm gonna talk about those too. Okay, but let's start with the hair situation, just getting the hair off of Ellie's chair and couch so that she can begin to address this problem. So the trick I have is the simplest trick in the world, and it really, really works. You put on a rubber dishwashing glove, a dry dishwashing glove, and you just run it over the surface of whatever you're trying to get the hair off of. So rubber is a natural enemy of pet hair. And it will pick it up and basically into clumps, and then you can just kind of grab the clumps with your hand. So that's the first pass at doing, you know, a major removal of hair.
Will that work on the animal itself?
Probably, but it might pull in a way that makes the animal upset. I'm going to talk about the animal itself as well as part of all of this. I have sort of four steps for Ellie's problem, and that's step four. So you'll do the glove, and then you can go in. You know, there probably will still be more, you know, hair embedded or left over, you know, that the glove just didn't pick up. Then you can go in with the lint roller. They do make oversized ones, so you can do like a full couch, like in one pass. And they tend to have long handles too, so it's a little bit easier, like on your back. but of course, you know, a regular size one is totally fine too. Two other things that you can use on furniture that people don't often think about or know about can be used on furniture for pet hair removal is you can use the tools that you use on your actual animal. So if you have something like the Love Glove or a Furminator or any one of those, you can actually go ahead and use that right on, you know, your bedding or on your sofa. The only thing you want to be careful of is if you have a style that's kind of one of those metal pin styles, that may snag. And so you want to just sort of test it. And use it fairly gingerly, but those can also be pressed into service on your furniture. So that's the hair part of things. Now, the second part of it is the dander part of it. So for that, what you're going to need is you're going to need a vacuum. And what Ellie was using was just a regular handheld. That probably isn't really going to be powerful enough. There are really powerful handhelds that you can get. The Sweet Home has a great recommendation. So if you find that you have a handheld in your life that's kind of not doing the job, maybe up your game and get one that has like, a more serious motor to it. But what you can use is you can use your regular standard vacuum fitted with the upholstery attachment. That's going to give you the power that you need to remove hair and dander from within the cushions. But in this case, we're talking about someone with allergies. And so what I said to Ellie was, a standard vacuum may still not really even be powerful enough to get deep enough into the cushions to remove all the dander. And there's one step further when it comes to vacuums, which is there are mattress vacuums. And I have one. It's a Dyson. I have to you know, disclose that it was a press sample. It was given to me by the Dyson people.
I did not know that a mattress vacuum was a thing.
It's a handheld.
I'm going to pretend I still don't know.
but it's delicious. It's delicious. It's a handheld vacuum. It's a cordless. You charge it, and then you can use it without a cord, which is very convenient for furniture and mattress if you don't have an outlet nearby, and then also you're kind of not struggling with a cord while you're doing this. The Dyson mattress vacuum is much, much more powerful than a standard vacuum. In fact, when I was testing it the first time, just out of curiosity, I put it down on the floor, and actually you can't even put it on my hardwood. You can't even vacuum the hardwood with it because it suctions to the floor so hard you can't move it. It's very, very, very powerful. So when Ellie emailed me, I said to her, I was like, well, listen, you know, I'm back at Deadspin. I've got to come up to the office anyway for a meeting. I'll bring the mattress vacuum and you can borrow it and then you can dander-free your furniture and then you can give it back to me. So that's what she did, and that was the happy ending. She was like so excited to use this thing too. It was amazing for me, you know, like it was like seeing a kid like use like your favorite childhood toy on Christmas. You know what I mean? It was just like very, 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 very exciting for someone like me.
So how large is this object? Because I wasn't picturing something you could like take on the subway.
It's about it's the box that it comes in is probably like 4 feet long by 1 foot by 1 foot, okay. 2 feet. It's not huge. It's
yeah.
a hand.
Yeah. Like
it's
a canister vac kind of size.
No, it's a handheld vac size.
Handheld vac
size. Yeah. It's not huge at all. It's just incredibly powerful. Incredibly powerful. And actually, that's the same vacuum that on episode 80 with David Cho, you guys heard David Cho and I talk about him using it on his upholstered headboard that got all dusty. And I said, I was like, oh, I actually just lent it out to someone else. That was Ellie. David Cho was referring to my mattress back as being a hussy because it was being passed all around New York media. We had a good long laugh about that one. So that's that story. Okay, so now there are two more. I promised you there would be four little sections to this answer. If even after doing that, the dander is still a problem and your new roommates are sniffling and sneezing or whatever's going on, then it's time to go up even another notch and get into an upholstery cleaner like the portable upholstery cleaners like the Rug Doctor. Actually, I had someone on Twitter today telling me that she has the portable Rug Doctor and that she loves it. She uses it for her dog messes. And she said it's the perfect size and it does the job. There are a lot of other machines, the Little Green Machine, the Bissell Spot Pro Plus, I think I'm saying that right.
Is that also one of those things that you can rent at the grocery store?
Yes, you can rent the full-sized ones at the grocery store. You know, here in New York, it's a little bit cumbersome to rent the full-size ones, but in other parts of the country where people have cars and can load them in, that's totally fine. And the rental, by the way, for the Rug Doctor is $30.
Oh, nice.
So, like, a very affordable thing for what it is. The reason that that's kind of the next step is because what those will do is they'll force a cleaning solution into the cushions, and then it will suck it back out. So it will do an even deeper cleaning than just the sucking out. Jaya's making a horrified face. You're it's friends like, with me in real life. You know the things that come out of this mouth. You can't be surprised by this. Okay, and then here's the last part. Jaya, you're going to love this part.
Okay.
The last part is this won't apply to Ellie because she's got an allergy situation and she's removing the cat from the home. She's literally getting rid of her cat. The old Jolie Care hairpin in joke. Get rid of your cats. And Jaya and I met on the hairpin, so this is like really all coming back around. So magic, Jaya. Okay, so the last part of it, and this actually harkens back to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast, episode 1 with Corey Sika. This is now the third week in a row that I've mentioned Corey Sika, which is also very magical because 3 is a magic number. as we learned from Corey Sika, managing your cats is very important. So we must talk about managing your cats. The lessons that we learned from Corey, who had at the time two cats and now has three, again, magic, mm-hmm. Was that the hair management situation in his life begins with their diet. And that a good diet is actually one of the most crucial things to managing shedding and hairballs in cats. So that's number one. Number two is regular grooming of the cat. So using that Furminator, and actually if you follow Corey on Instagram, he posts regular videos of them taking the cats out back and giving them their weekly grooming. They're very, very, very diligent cat owners in terms of the grooming. So the vigilance around grooming and diet will help to cut back on the shed and the occurrence of shedding in the first place. It won't eliminate it completely, but it will really help. And then the last thing is just regular cleaning. So getting that vacuum out and vacuuming the furniture on the regular, vacuuming the floors. You know, vacuums are great. They're not just for our floors. And especially if you have pets, vacuuming the furniture regularly is going to just make a world of difference for you. So this is a good time for us to take a quick break. Jaya, Jess, and I will be back with more about your cats and magic. This is Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome back to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. I'm Jolie Kerr. I'm here with Jaya Saxena and Jess Zimmerman, authors of the new book, Basic Witches. And we've been talking about cats and dogs a little bit. A
little bit.
A little bit. And definitely magic.
Have you ever vacuumed your furniture after Huxley sat on something?
Oh, my God. Yeah, no, I have to vacuum my furniture a lot.
Oh,
a lot. I mean,
you're welcome back here anytime,
no,
Jess.
It's not. I'm not a clean person. I just have a really, I mean, he has a lot of surface area.
Yeah.
And he has a double coat, so he's just sort of like constantly, constantly shedding.
So you have
shedding.
A dire wolf.
yeah, basically. He just creates a really catastrophic amount of hair.
Okay.
A dogastrophic. I feel very fortunate in terms of dog messiness overall. He doesn't destroy things. He doesn't, you know, he does a limited amount of pukes. but the dog hair situation in my house is something that like
you manage it.
Yeah. Vacuuming is definitely it's not really cleanliness is not the goal.
Right. It's just management.
Cleanliness is not a reasonable goal. But yeah.
Okay, that's fair. I should mention, you guys, about a month from now, I can't recall the episode number, but I'm going to do a dedicated dog episode. Jamie Attenberg is joining.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
so
I'm very, very excited about having Jamie here. She has an adorable...
Celebrity dog Sid.
Celebrity dog Sid. Sid will not be joining us, unfortunately. But Jamie will be here and we'll talk about dog stuff. So I probably won't do hair just because we did so much on hair in this episode. And really, they're the same animal when it comes to cleaning dog hair and cat hair. I know, right? Yeah, that's a good one, Jolie. You're so funny. But we're going to do, I got a great question about cleaning chew toys, and I'll probably do dog puke on that one.
Get excited. It's a fact of life.
So excited.
It is.
So many wonderful things that these animals do to us.
I mean, I really have that, partly because my dog is so large, I have that like, oh my God, an animal lives in my house with me, like reaction probably once a day.
Yeah.
And you know, and he's very, very docile, so he's not behaving like a wild animal most of the time, but I'm just like, an animal's sleeping on my foot.
Yeah, yeah.
Why do I allow this?
It's a very curious thing that we do. Well, you do, I don't. I have a teddy bear.
A wild teddy bear.
Which is another curious thing, but that's another episode for another day. All right. Speaking of things that come out of our pets, we're gonna talk about cat pee, and but specifically about vacuums and cat pee. Ooh. So I've done great work with the theme today. it was a magical accident, I guess, an accident, but I'm bummed, Jules. I'm gonna have Jess read this question from Samantha, and then we will answer this question about cat pee. One of my favorite topics. Mm.
Okay, here's Samantha's question. As you know, cats are assholes. Despite that we use the fancy and expensive silica litter and had just bought our cat a new, larger litter box, he still peed on the little mat in front of the box. Again. Usually I catch this before I vacuum because he does this a lot. But this time I did not. I noticed the vacuum was wet immediately after vacuuming the mat. I cleaned the floor and wiped off the vacuum head with water and finished cleaning. A few days later, when I turned on the vacuum, it smelled like cat pee.
Oh, no.
I Googled how to clean a vacuum plus Jolie Care. But alas, nothing came up that could help me, so I went to the next best thing, Reddit. Ooh. That's fighting words.
Actually, Reddit is a very good source for cleaning stuff.
Really?
And there's actually the greatest... Reddit thread in all of the lands and all of the seas is a vacuum repairman who did an AMA, and it's
whoa,
yeah.
Is it like, what's the weirdest thing you've ever pulled out of a vacuum?
Yeah, I mean it's everything. It goes in places you can't even imagine.
Wow.
I will, you guys. I will link to that Reddit AMA in the companion post to this episode on Dead Spin.
Yes,
so I
need to read supplemental it. Reading. Yes,
it is fabulous and fascinating and so weird.
Okay, so okay. Great. I've learned something already from this question. Reddit said I could dismantle the vacuum. The vacuum cleaner repairman on Reddit.
I bet you that
said
is what
I could
she
dismantle the
too,
vacuum
yeah.
and soak all the non-electric parts, which I did with an all-purpose cleaner. And while it now looks clean, the vacuum head and lower portion of the tubing still smells like pee. I'm not really sure what to do now. The vacuum is a bagless canister style with pop-out bristles, no beater brush. I'm afraid bleach will damage the plastic and metal parts. Please help. I have a toddler and a very fluffy cat. I can't be out of a vacuum for more than a few days.
Yeah. Okay. Help is here.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I just want to point out that I think how to clean vacuum is probably the least SEO-friendly search term for this specific problem.
The funny thing is that I definitely have done it, at least a small thing about how to clean a vacuum on the hairpin, because I remember that my best friend Matt Miller, who Jaya knows, gave me the instructions for how he sanitizes his vacuum. Because of course, Matt Miller sanitizes his vacuum.
This is
so because the thing is about Matt.
It's like washing your soap.
Which Matt would do. If Matt could wash soap, he would wash soap. Like, so the way that Matt and I.
It's like a little raccoon, like a raccoon with a saltine.
Yeah. Matt and I are like mirror twins of one another in terms of our clean personism. He's a germaphobe and he's obsessed with like scrubbing and sanitizing and all that stuff, where I'm an organization freak. Like if you open his drawers, I organize his drawers every time. There are photos of me having organized his like under sink area in his kitchen when he left me alone in his apartment. I like line the bottles up. It's like crazy. It's crazy.
You can't come into my apartment.
I won't. No, he's my best friend. I have boundaries with people, but I don't need to with my best friend. Like,
he knows what he's getting into. Yeah.
But he'll come into my apartment and he'll like dismantle my vacuums and sterilize them. Like, listen, there's a lid for every pot, and Matt and I found each other. You know, and his husband just like shakes his head at the two of us when we get going. He's like, you two are bonkers. But I love you both. Like,
I'm gonna go to a mud wrestling match.
Yeah. because he's managed his craziness and Matt and I just have not in any way, shape, or form. But it works for all three of us. Okay, so here is the what to do about the cat pee in the vacuum. You're gonna use the cat's own stuff against him, and I hope that you laugh. You cackle an evil cackle on this this one. So the first thing I got to say is you always want to go and check the manufacturer instructions for cleaning your specific vacuum. In this day and age of Google, it's very easy to go and do that. You can find instruction manuals online for virtually everything. If you get really stumped, there's almost always an 800 hotline. I know no one wants to get on the telephone, but like sometimes you got to do it. Nowadays, most major manufacturers of vacuum cleaners also have an online chat version. So if you don't want to get on the telephone, you can do the online chat. So mention that. But you have me. So I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. You're going to bury the parts that you can't wash in the cat's own litter. Clean litter. So here's
not its awful dirty litter. Right.
So here's the thing about litter. It is meant to absorb odors. And so it will do that in a whole number of things. And specifically, it's designed to absorb cat pee odor. So what you're going to do, the crucial thing, because as we will learn from Samantha, also, I love that her name is Samantha, very witchy.
Yes.
Very witchy.
A long history.
As Samantha has reminded us, cats are assholes. Mm-hmm. So you must plan for them to try to jack you up even more when you're trying to fix the thing that they already jacked up for you. You got to make sure you put it in a sealed container so that they can't go then use the litter. Yeah, very important. Yeah,
they would.
Which, of course they would. Of course they would. And again, admire them for it. I mean, that's just like a whole other level of evil.
Just hex your cats.
Yeah. Sage your cats.
Hex your cats before they hex you.
Exactly. there are a whole lot of different ways to do this, but two sort of probably the most common ones that people would use for this are either seal the parts up with the litter in a trash bag or in a lidded storage container, like a big underbed box type thing. So that's what you're going to do. Then you're going to just leave the parts in there. Overnight at the bare minimum, probably a couple of days, just because cat pee is such an insidious smell. Two other things that you can try if you need or want to. You could probably safely use a spray like Osium or Lysol. Don't use Febreze. That's not going to do it. You need an actual odor eliminator. Lysol will kill bacteria, so you know that'll sort of nuke the problem at the root. Osium is the spray deodorizer to end all spray deodorizers. It's what weed smokers use to get the smell of weed out of their rooms. So you know it's good.
More good tips.
Yeah. So the thing is about that, obviously, it's aerosol, but it still is, a liquid of some sort. So make sure you're spraying at least 6 to 8 inches away so that you're not soaking and saturating parts. But a light misting should be safe on that.
It's a very witchy answer, actually. It's like, bury the parts at dark of moon.
Maybe we can collaborate on a follow-up to Basic Witches that's like witchy cleaning recipes. And
I just think anytime you clean we'll anything, you should do it under a full moon.
Yeah, yes. We'll call it cleaning is magic.
I actually do often clean Skyclad.
Ooh.
Wait, what's Skyclad?
Just without any clothes on.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, you have to wear something so that you have something. So you have to wear like a sports bra or something so you have something to tuck your iPod into. But
okay.
but if you clean, like if you're, you know, like I like if I'm cleaning on a weekend, like I'm not going to like get dressed before I clean because I'm just going to hop in the shower afterwards.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Wow, I never heard that term. I've learned something new today. I'm so excited. Speaking of learning new things, instead of doing a final question for the show today, I am going to share a reader tip. I recently got an email from listener Liz, and it was a great one, and it's about cat pee specifically. And I was like, oh, I'm going to just share this one. On the show, you guys know I love it when you tell me about the products and techniques you've successfully used to tackle your cleaning messes. And I want to remind you that you can always email or tweet at me to share tips. I mean, I got that one today about the gal with the dog and the rug doctor, and that was great. The thing is about it, I love to hear from you. And of course, I love a happy ending and a success story and all that stuff. But also, it really does help me to be better at my job. And then I get to share your field research, as I think of it, with other listeners. And so it's just a win-win all around. Okay, so let's take it away to listener Liz's cat pee tip. She says, I wanted to share a cat pee tip. I noticed you recommend Nature's Miracle quite a bit. No shade to them, but that product has never worked for me and my numerous revolting cats.
Everyone hates their cats. It's amazing.
I love how well I've conditioned my readers and listeners to, like, insult their cats to me. That's magic too. That's the dark kind. Something that has worked for us, especially where cat pee is concerned, is this weird recipe I found on the internet. It's actually an elaborate process that has worked wonders on both suitcases. Cats like to pee in your suitcase, as you know. I do know because I've podcasted about that before. And carpets. Even though this technique uses vinegar, it does not trigger re-peeing in my experience, and it really, really works. Of course, you have to get to that pee early before time activates its super stinky powers. You are right that cats are revolting, although I think dogs are too.
Oh, yeah.
They're all wild animals in your home.
Yeah.
My newest cat has a revolting feature that really takes the cake. She has a permanent cold and snots on everything.
Oh, God.
I have a high tolerance for grossness after years of cats and a toddler, but a tiny critter leaving nasty snot rockets all over the house? Oh, fucking yikes. Fortunately, your tip on using Zout on protein stains has worked miracles, and I have just turned into a regular wall washer. Thanks again, Liz. So let me tell you guys, I'm going to link to the recipe that Liz sent me in the companion post to Deadspin, but let me tell you what it is. I'm just going to run very quickly through what the instructions are. And then, indeed, it is pretty involved, but like, hey, it works. And yeah. Great. Okay. Okay, so there are five steps. Step one, blot up any fresh pee with paper towels. Step two, mix a solution of equal parts water and white vinegar, pour it on the stains, and let it sit for 15 minutes. Then blot that up with paper towels. Step three, cover the stained area with a thin layer of baking soda. Step number four, mix 3/4 cup hydrogen peroxide with 1 teaspoon of dish soap. Pour on the baking soda and bubbles will form. Literal magic. Bubbling.
This is very witchy. This mm-hmm. is a very much like...
I'm telling you guys.
This is a
book.
Cauldron thing
second
going
book.
On.
Yeah. Cleaning is magic. I'm telling you. Think about it. I'm working on book proposals right now. I can throw another one in the mix. It's no problem. I thought I was doing 2 book proposals. Oh no, my agent's like, no, you're actually doing 3. So what's a fourth?
My God.
It's like cats. Like once you have 3 cats, there's no difference between having 4 or 10. So
no, your house is awful by that point.
Yeah,
just
same
keep
thing.
Going.
Same thing with book proposals. So your house is awful. And then step five. You're going to use a scrub brush and you're going to scrub that hydrogen peroxide and dish soap solution into the stain with a scrub brush. Then you're going to leave it overnight. And in the morning, you're going to vacuum up the dried baking soda. And then you're done. Now, one caveat I need to give that wasn't given in the instructions, but I want to give is that hydrogen peroxide can have a bleaching effect. So you want to test a little bit of just the hydrogen out in an inconspicuous spot on your carpet or upholstery or wherever before you dump it all over, just to make sure that it isn't going to lead to color loss. But most of the time it'll be fine. It's just that there are some textiles that will have a bleaching effect in the face of hydrogen peroxide. Mm-hmm. So anyway, thank you, Liz, so much for sharing that tip.
The snot cat is like the
snot cat.
The saddest, sweetest thing I've ever heard.
Jaya, you think snot cat is sweet?
I don't know. There's just imagine having a cold all the time. That really just...
It is. It's Dickensian.
Oh, my God.
God bless us, everyone.
On that note...
Meow.
That'll do it for this episode of Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. Don't forget to enter the contest to win a copy of Jaya and Jess's book, Basic Witches. It goes on sale August 29th. You guys, you all have to go buy it. I got a press copy of it. It's so good. It's just joy-making, and everyone should go read it.
Yay, thank you.
To enter the contest, you have until Tuesday, September 5th to tweet or email me at joliecare@gmail.com. To tell us about what you would sage. I will share all of those answers with Jaya and Jess. And then the 3 of us will pick a winner, and I'll announce it on, I think it's episode 86. And I want to say thank you so much to Jaya and Jess for joining me today. This was really, really, really fun. I think we're scheduled to have you back for my Halloween episode.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so plenty of witchy things.
Yeah, so get excited about that. I know I already am. Even though it's still August, I'm chomping at the bit for fall. I've had a great summer. Great, great wild summer, but, like, I feel really ready for spooky times.
I just need to know how to get, like, Halloween grease paint out of everything.
We're going
to
talk about that. We're going to for sure talk about that. If you guys like what you heard today, please consider becoming a patron by going to patreon.com/askacleanperson and selecting one of the amazing rewards I'm offering to my listeners. I would also love it if you would subscribe on Acast or iTunes, leave a rating, and tell your pals about this weird little cleaning show. Boy, we got real weird today, didn't we? that you love so much. And of course, thanks to you, my listeners, for joining me for another episode of Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.